A soft rain was falling out of a cold gray sky. A small crowd of people dressed in all black were standing around a deep hole in the ground. Everybody was silent except the pastor. As he finished his prayer, the pastor looked over to the family and gave a small nod. The young boy standing next to his father didn't exactly understand what was going on. He looked up at his father. The boy knew his father to be a tall, silent, strong, yet a very, very kind man. When the son looked up at his father, he saw him doing something that he had never seen his father do before. His father was crying. The father didn't make any noise, but even though it was raining, you could see the tears streaming down his face. You could see as he was standing there, his shoulders heaving. At the pastor's nod, the father knelt down by the side of the grave, took a small handful of dirt, and poured it down into the grave on top of the coffin. The coffin was a very small one. For a long while, the father stayed on his knees, his shoulders involuntarily shaking. More than anything in the world, he just wanted his little girl back. Among all the terrible consequences and effects of sin in the world, physical death is certainly one of the worst. Death is a cold, dark hand that reaches into our lives and it takes the people that are often nearest and dearest to us. Death is rarely, if it is ever, an easy thing to deal with. It leaves an empty hole in somebody's heart where the love and company of another person used to be. And one of the most heartbreaking ways that death can separate two people is when it takes away a child from a parent. A parent's fondest wish is to see their child grow up and to find success and happiness in their life. And the heartbreak is especially severe when a parent has to bury their son or their daughter. In our sermon reading for this morning, our Lord and Savior Jesus encounters a woman who was going out to bury her only son. She was dealing with perhaps one of the deepest sadnesses there is for a parent to know. Our Savior, though, looks at this woman's situation, and he shows great love for her. He turns a situation of grief and despair into one of wild happiness and joy. We learn here that Jesus doesn't just have the power to heal diseases or power over nature. We also learn here that he is the Lord over life and death. And we ask God's Spirit to bless our study of his word this morning as we find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Now it happened the day after that he, that is Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This is the word of God. Jesus, at the time of our account this morning, had just finished a great miracle. Just the day before, a centurion had come to Jesus and had asked him to heal his servant, who was lying at home and was very, very sick. With just his word and with nothing else, he had healed that servant. Along with this miracle, Jesus had performed many other miracles that made him a very, very popular man around the area. There seemed nothing too great for Jesus to do. Without any trouble at all, he had told demons to come out of those who were possessed. He had healed the sick, those who were blind, those who were deaf, those who couldn't walk. Later in his ministry, Jesus would show his power over nature by calming storms, and over the laws of physics by taking a very small amount of food and making it enough for a feast for over 5,000 people. But what Jesus did in our account for today took miracles to a whole other level. It would show that he was, and that he still is, the Lord over life and death. As Jesus approached the village of Nain — Nain is just south of where Jesus grew up in Nazareth — one very happy crowd of people met another very sad crowd of people. The crowd that was with Jesus was very happy. They were excited about the miracle they had just seen. Coming out of the city, walking towards them, was a funeral procession for a young man. Now, most funerals are a time of sorrow and mourning, but this funeral in particular was especially tragic for several reasons. The word in the Greek New Testament that's used here that means young man means that this was a boy who was probably in his late teens. Besides having his life cut tragically short, the death of this young man was especially heartbreaking because he was the only child of his mother. And to make matters even worse, Luke tells us that this widow, his mother, was a widow. She had already lost her husband as well. This woman was in a truly terrible situation. First, she had lost her husband, the head of the household, of the family. Now that her son had been taken away from her, she was really and truly alone. Now, most women at that time in Israel didn't work outside the home, so that this meant the woman had no way of earning an income. She had no way of supporting herself. This woman was destined for a lifetime of poverty and of loneliness. Thankfully, Jesus had a way of taking people in very desperate circumstances, in the most hopeless of situations, and turning them around. Now, funerals in Israel at that time were a little bit different than they are today. If somebody died, the funeral and the burial for that person usually took place later on that same day. This meant that the woman's son had almost certainly died earlier that day, the same day that Jesus arrived. Imagine how the mother must have felt. Those of you who are parents currently can probably sympathize with just how much her heart probably felt like it was torn in half. To view it from another perspective, imagine how Jesus felt when he saw this woman. That young man was the only child of his mother, the only son of his mother. Just as Jesus was the only child, the only son of God the Father. He saw that coffin being carried out of the city, and he knew that a time was coming very soon when he would also have to die. Jesus had compassion on this woman in her time of mourning and in her time of grief. He came forward and he touched the coffin, causing the people who were carrying it to stand still. Many people likely thought that Jesus was doing something very rude by interrupting something as solemn as a funeral. And other people probably thought he was just downright crazy. What Jesus did next was amazing. Even compared to Jesus' previous miracles, it was amazing. Jesus had shown so far that he was Lord over nature, diseases, that he even had power over demons. Now he would show everybody that he was even Lord over life and death. He spoke to the dead body in the coffin, and he said to it, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And simply at Jesus' word, a soul and a body that previously had been separated in death were brought back together. And that young man came back to life. Death, something that was thought to be permanent and inevitable, had been broken. And a family that had been broken was made whole again. Jesus had shown his authority over life and death by bringing that young man back from the dead. Twice more before he died, Jesus would bring somebody back from the dead. Fortunately, his power over death stretched much further than simple miracles of bringing people back from the dead. He is also the Lord of life, and he's Lord over life and death for every single human being on earth. Our God is omniscient, meaning that he knows absolutely everything about every one of us. He's known from eternity when we'll be born. He knows as we're growing up who our friends will be. He knows what we'll choose for a career. He knows who we'll end up marrying. He knows how many children we'll have. And more than that, God knows exactly how long each person has to live on this earth. And this is all part of his gracious plan to give each person on earth something called a time of grace, for the Holy Spirit to call them to faith, and then to take each of us out of the world when he decides that the time is right. And God's time doesn't often seem right to us. People we love are sometimes taken away from us very suddenly, and when we least expect it. It can be in a car accident. It can be from a heart attack. It can be from a murder. It can be from a natural disaster. Whatever the cause is, the loss of life often causes people to question God and to blame God. They ask each other, how can a loving God who cares about people do something like this? Or they might say, if there is a God, he wouldn't have let something like this happen. Now, people who say these things are under the impression that when they lose someone they love in death, that's the last time they're ever going to see them. Many people believe that death is simply the end of the life cycle, and that it's just something that's completely natural. But from God's word, we know that neither of those statements is true. We know that death is something completely unnatural, that every living thing has to go through because of the introduction of sin into the world. Thankfully, the Christian knows that because of what Jesus has done for us, death is not the end of life. For the Christian, death is only the doorway into eternal life. And that is the most important part of this entire story. Raising this widow's son from the dead didn't just prove that Jesus had the power over physical life and death, but it also proved that he has power over spiritual life and death. This display of power helped point to him as the Messiah and the Savior of the world that everybody had been waiting for. And the purpose of this Messiah wasn't to come and heal the sick, or to give people food, or even to raise the dead. The real purpose of Jesus the Messiah was to conquer eternal death. He would do this by subjecting himself to physical death. The one and only Son of God would willingly be arrested, sentenced to death, and he would be executed. As true man, Jesus would hang on a wooden cross and slowly die for 6 hours. He would suffer the focused wrath and anger of God when he felt the agony of hell. And finally, after paying for every last sin, as true man, Jesus' spirit would leave his body. He would die. As true God, when Jesus said those words, "It is finished," it meant that his sacrifice counted, that God the Father accepted it as the full payment for the sins of all of mankind. Physical death was not the end for Jesus either. Jesus only stayed dead for 3 days, just like the prophecy said he would. Then he performed the greatest miracle of all. He brought himself back from the dead. Jesus spoke about this during his lifetime when he said in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, "Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. For no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." When Jesus rose from the dead, it told the world that sin, death, hell, and the devil had been defeated forever. It also shows us that death is something that we don't have to be afraid of. When we lose family and friends that have believed on Jesus, we know that it will not be the last time that we see them. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, we know that we will see those believers again in heaven. We still mourn the passing of the people that we love, but at the same time, we thank God and we're happy. We mourn because we miss those people. We miss the love and happiness that all those people put into our lives. But we're happy because we know that that person is in heaven, that they'll never have to experience any kind of pain, any kind of sadness ever again. The death and resurrection of Jesus can also give us peace of mind and confidence about our own deaths. Whether it's later today, or it's next year, or it's 20 years from now, 50 years from now, we can be at peace in this lifetime, knowing that there is a much better life waiting for us beyond this one. We can be certain that physical death is only a doorway that takes us to heaven. And we can have the greatest confidence in the words of Jesus when he says to us, "Because I live, you will live also. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.